Hey, I saw something interesting today on social media. Somebody posted a very strong political opinion. And somebody replied, good point, I changed my mind. Here's something I've learned about social media. The expression, just saying, ain't never preceded by a compliment. When I tweet, I never want to try to sound too young, but I also don't want to sound too old. And I saw Metallica in concert. They're great. And I wanted to tweet that they were great, but I didn't want to come off like an old fuddy-duddy. But I also didn't want to try to sound like a young whippersnapper. So I settled on, boy, these fellas sure had a boogie. I think I hit the sweet spot. All my followers thought I was the cat's pajamas.
Jazz at the Racine Theater Guild. What a great place to see anything, the Racine Theater Guild. I love it. So, that was the flip side of what Carole King sung. That was not the hit side. That was the B side. What was the hit side?
I do not know.
Oh, come
on,
man.
It was before my time.
You're our alderman and you don't know this stuff? Maybe we made a mistake. You know, it's too late.
Oh.
That was the A side. The B side was I Feel the Earth Move. I was telling David Mack that I have all the interviews and I have a list here. Because I was on with the Pete Schwabba, and he wanted to know, you know, who I talked to. Carole King was the worst interview I've ever had. She didn't want to do it. It was some event she was at promoting a charitable organization. I don't know if I, you know, you catch people on bad days. Maybe she didn't feel good. Maybe she was in a hurry. Maybe she said, I'm not talking to this jerk on the radio. You know, I don't know what it was.
Your reputation probably preceded you. And
I don't think with Carole King I have a reputation. I don't think outside Racine I have a reputation. Anyway. She just was answering in one-word answers. She didn't want to talk to me. She just, I said, so when is the event? Friday. And is it what time? 8. How do we get tickets? Call this number. And that's, this is the whole interview was going like, and I made the mistake of saying, you know, when I was in high school, Tapestry was the album everyone was listening to. Silence. I said, what a great album. One hit song after another. What a masterpiece. Silence. I hit the whole interview lasted about 8, 9, 10 minutes. She didn't want to answer anything. She didn't want to be there.
Prolific songwriter. I mean, she's written...
And the Broadway musical.
Yeah.
See, there's a Broadway musical based on her life and her songs. Carole King. She's, you know... What am I, her and Jerry Goffin wrote great songs and...
Yeah, we were talking about it. Been involved in music for a long time, the Animal Cracker series, and most of the artists that we come in that come from all over the place are super. They're fun to hang out with, have some great conversations, you know, because we have some downtime before the concerts. But every once in a while, there's a dud. And I remember we had this one gal, and you could tell she did not want to do the meet and greet. And she was snapping at her fans. And there was one gal that she was holding on to her CDs. She was all excited because this was her favorite singer. And when the gal snapped at her, she just put her head down and walked away. And you could tell she was disappointed. And that woman lost a fan that day.
I know. You know, and I was telling you, when I was in Atlanta, we used to sponsor a lot of concerts. Wayne Newton canceled his flight so we can stay with our contest winners and talk to and take pictures. He asked to get me on a later flight. It was already like 11:30 midnight. And he said, get me on a later flight.
I won tickets through WRGN to see Wayne Newton in Baraboo. I told my wife, we're going to Baraboo and we're going to see Wayne Newton. She wasn't that thrilled about seeing Wayne Newton, but... You know who
he puts on a great show, by the way.
You know who turned into the biggest Wayne Newton fan? Amy Hernandez Mack. Watch for her to do the Wayne Newton tribute album next.
I had to interview Johnny Mathis on stage at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. He's a very shy guy because backstage we were doing taking pictures and stuff. Very shy person. And when he gets on stage, he doesn't do a show. He just sings the songs. Where Wayne Newton is an entertainer on stage, makes you laugh, tells stories. Johnny Mathis just sang the songs. Wonderfully, it was a wonderful evening to hear the songs, but he didn't talk to the audience, didn't tell stories, didn't make, you know, he just sings the songs.
To me, Wayne Newton was this glorified lounge singer who covered some Elvis songs. I remember when I was in college, my buddies and I, we rented a Wayne Newton concert video at the video store and put it in, and he was wearing an Elvis-type jumpsuit, and he was singing, you know, basically Elvis songs. And that was my impression of Wayne Newton. And when we went to see him, I was like, wow, what a diverse performer. The guy plays multiple instruments.
Plays the
You're
banjo.
Talking about...
Plays the banjo, too.
Oh, more than the banjo, guitar, trumpet, this, that. You know, you talk about learning the piano and struggling with... This guy's a multi-instrumentalist. And then... He showed a video clip of him and Glenn Campbell singing in England. It was for a TV show. And it was not that lounge act type of voice. It was just, I was like, wow, this guy is really good. And
I saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show when he was a young man. He wasn't on stage. They built a stage in the audience amongst all the seats, and he did the banjo, and it was like one of those, Bill Bailey, won't you come home, Bill Bailey, on the banjo.
Remember him in Bonanza?
No.
He was an actor. He was in Bonanza. So
I know he made some movies.
So he tells a story that he's in his dressing room at the studio filming Bonanza, and somebody walks through the door and says, Newton, who are you dating? And his back was to the door. Turns around. It's Elvis. And he says, I'm dating so-and-so. And Elvis looks at him and says, so am I. And he says, and who did the gal end up with? Wink Martindale.
Oh, remember Wink?
Yep. I met Wink Martindale at Graceland and his wife who dated Elvis and Wayne Newton at the same time.
He had a hit record, Wink Martindale.
Did he?
He didn't sing it. It was a spoken record. and it was a big hit. It was called Deck of Cards.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. It was, he didn't talk, he didn't sing, though. It was, you don't have spoken records
anymore.
Is that
anymore. The first rap album?
Hardly a rap. Okay, let's get some news headlines here. I got to get to these. Stuart J. Waddles has updated our news for us this morning. A flood warning remains in effect until early tomorrow afternoon for the Fox River in Kenosha County. The river this morning was just a few inches above flood stage, and that's down from 2 feet this time last week. The impact of the flooding includes approximately 2 inches of water over 77th Street in the Wheatland area, as well as the floodwaters near some homes along Highway W in Salem Lakes. The forecast has the river below flood stage by tomorrow morning. 4 decades after the alleged crime, an 83-year-old Racine man has pleaded not guilty. Fred Wagner Richardson was bound over for trial yesterday in a Racine cold case homicide. He pleaded not guilty to the charges of first-degree murder and possession of a firearm by a felon. Wagner Richardson is charged in the 1987 murder of his wife, Derby Wagner Richardson. Derby was found dead in the trunk of her car, bound with duct tape. A status conference is scheduled for July 12th to further address the case. 86% of litter found on the Great Lakes beaches consists of plastic. That's according to a new report released by the Alliance for the Great Lakes. The report, based on 2 decades of data from over 14,000 Adopt-a-Beach cleanups, is said to highlight the need to address plastic pollution. The Alliance says the plastic is a threat to human health and the environment, as particles can contaminate the drinking water supply for millions of people. And groundbreaking was held this week for a downtown Kenosha plan with a 10-story tower. The Kenosha Harbor District development spans 9 blocks, with the first of the buildings including a 5-story apartment building and a 10-story tower. It's going up where La Macchia Travel offices, oh, I remember them, La Macchia Travel, where they sat. The two buildings will have 1,000 new housing units. The $450 million effort will see construction starting this summer. Those are some of the stories Stuart J. Waddles is watching for us in our news center this morning, and he'll keep you updated throughout the day. For the weather, partly sunny, a beautiful day. Highs near 59. They just won't say 60. It's stopping right before the cliff. They won't take that.
It may just push itself a little.
I know, but they won't say it. Yep. They stop at 59. A clear sky tonight, lows around 40. People always say, why do you say it's clearing sky? It's clear skies. Now, it's only one sky up there. It's a clear sky. Gary Seward taught me that. Sunny tomorrow with a high near 61. Sunny Sunday with a high near 62. Right now it's cloudy and 50 degrees. The Brewers will take on the Orioles in Baltimore. 5:30 this afternoon right here at WRJN. David Mack, our new 4th District Alderman, is with us today. We're going to talk about the tornado awareness drill yesterday, because you used to work for emergency management. You used to work for everything.
So, no, I didn't. I had a 34-year career in emergency management.
So we're talking to David about that in just a moment. It's 719 WRJN.
All right, we're
going
to shake it up here a little bit. don't you hesitate. Hey, baby, don't you wanna go back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago. Chicago.
Sweet home Chicago.
So I had to pay royalties on that song.
You can afford it.
Put the CD together. It's an old song. It should be in the public domain. So the person that wrote Sweet Home Chicago was Robert Johnson. He's the guy that sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads down in Mississippi. He was just an average Joe, couldn't play the guitar, sold his soul to the devil, and all of a sudden, man, he was the greatest guitar player ever strummed a guitar, and he wrote Sweet Home Chicago, although there's a song about Kokomo or something that sounds an awful lot. The riffs are the same as
Kokomo, the Beach Boys from Cocktail.
Yeah, not that song. Oh, not that
one.
Song.
Okay, not that one.
But anyway, in the 1960s, I guess the estate of Robert Johnson sued the Rolling Stones for copyright infringement. And while this song should be in the public domain, it's extended into the middle of the century. So I'll be paying royalties until probably 2050.
Ah, you're rich. You can afford it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about you were you worked for emergency management for how many years?
I had a 34-year career in emergency
management. 34? Whoa.
I started out working for the state of Wisconsin in 1988. Governor Tommy Thompson appointed me to a job with Wisconsin Emergency Management where I was the liaison between the state and businesses and the counties. It was supposed to be in the southeast and east central region of the state. I ended up doing it statewide, and it was a fledgling new program dealing with chemical awareness. So that was interesting. After about a year and a half, the job in Racine County opened up. I applied for it, a number of applicants, and I was successful in the interview process. Started there April 1990, and I retired in October of 2021, I believe it was. So it was an interesting career. It was one where I was interviewed the other day by somebody that's working on a master's program, and they needed to interview somebody in public safety, and they asked if they could. And, you know, the job entailed writing plans for emergencies, and every so often something would happen, whether it was Hurricane Katrina or the bombing in Oklahoma City. But whenever something big like that happened and there were deficiencies, all of a sudden we had requirements to do planning. So after Katrina, we were one of the 13th largest cities in the state of Wisconsin. We had to develop an evacuation plan because the evacuation planning in Katrina was non-existent. So, you know, things like that. And then we did public outreach, going, talking to groups. You know, your social media falls under public outreach. I wrote extensively, had a column in the paper regarding emergency management. Training, we would develop training programs. We'd facilitate training programs. I brought a lot of training in that was free to us. Obviously, the taxpayers pay for it, but it was through the federal government, and TEKS, Texas A&M, would come in and do a lot of training for us. So we became kind of a training hub. So we did planning, training, public outreach, exercise. Not on the treadmill, Don. I know what you're thinking.
No, I wasn't thinking.
But we would do simulated disaster drills, and we'd have tabletop discussions. We would have functional drills where we test one piece of it, or we'd have a full-blown activation. And Tom and Janet Karko from this station.
I know, they were part of it. I remember
they used to help me because I'd want to stimulate. I wanted to simulate what it was like to have the media there asking questions, so they would portray media people, and we'd set up press conferences, or they'd call like, you know, media would, wanting to know what's going on. So we tried to make it as realistic as possible, and then actual response. So it was a multifaceted type job. We talked about exercises. Yesterday there was a statewide tornado drill that falls under exercises, drills, functional exercises, tabletops. So they tested the outdoor warning sirens, although that wasn't the purpose of yesterday, because a lot of communities don't have outdoor warning sirens.
And you were saying you might as well just get it on your cell phone.
Right.
A tornado warning on your cell phone.
Outdoor warning sirens are meant to be heard indoors. We told people, get a NOAA weather radio. Now I'm holding my cell phone, which you can't see. You know what would be really cool is if you guys put a camera in here. And not only did
they
you.
They want to.
Yeah.
They want to.
So you could stream it live.
They want to.
Yeah. That would be cool. You know.
They want to do that.
What was that? Howard Stern. Didn't he do that?
Well, our other shows on Civic Media do it. You can watch. You can watch the hosts stream live.
So I could be holding my cell phone like I'm doing right now, which people can't see.
Sage Wild wanted to do that with me, and I said, are you sure? Hold on. David Mack is here. More coming up in just a moment. 729 WRJM.
Big box giant Costco has announced that they're launching a weight loss program that prescribes Ozempic and Wegovy. You'll find Costco's weight loss drugs between the pallets of oatmeal cookies and the pumpkin pies the size of a tractor wheel.
Live on stage with Gene's Jazz. Thank you. She did the Elvis. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
much. Yes, right.
Thank you very much.
And then afterwards we said, Amy Mack has left the building.
Thank you very much. That was live at Gene's Jazz. When was that recorded?
That was recorded 4 years ago. I just had it mixed down within the last several months. And it was
when was it recorded?
About 4 years ago.
4 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, it was right before COVID. It was the last, or it was the first concert they got in, and the only one, I believe, because then everything got shut down. So it's kind of a bust for a year. A lot of performers did not get to perform, but we had a number of gigs. We had a number of gigs that were lined up for that summer. Amy was going to sing with the Racine Symphony Orchestra. She was going to sing for the first time with Music and More. Everything got canceled. So
I know.
It was kind of a surreal time that we all lived in. And
I know. Very now we talk about, like, nostalgia. We talk about it.
Yep.
Oh, remember the days of COVID? Normally at this time, people are saying, well, where's Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters? Brett is at CinemaCon in Las Vegas, where he gets to hobnob with all the big stars and watch all the new movies coming out next year. Normally he does his broadcast for us from CinemaCon. Unfortunately, he's going through airport security right now as we speak because he's coming home. And he couldn't be here. I said, oh, just tell the guy at security to keep his shirt on. But he did record something for us. And so we have new movies opening up, a couple of them this weekend. And here's what he has for us.
Well, the first big release is Civil War. Alex Garland directs this action movie starring Nick Offerman and Kirsten Dunst. They play a team of military embedded journalists as they race against time to reach D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. The next movie is Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. This is a new telling of the 1991 comedy where a high school student named Tanya finds her summer plans canceled when her mom jets off on a last-minute retreat and an elderly babysitter unexpectedly passes away. Nicole Richie plays the character of Rose, who is the boss in the movie. And the last film is The Long Game. Dennis Quaid stars in this historical drama set in 1955 about a group of young Mexican-American caddies who, out of love for the game, were determined to learn how to play, so they created their own golf course in the middle of the South Texas desert. There is so much to go see at the movies. Plan your escape and have a great time.
Thank you, Brett. Brett Hoffman back live next week, and he'll give us the lowdown on what happened at CinemaCon. He hobnobs with the stars. I remember one year, somebody we knew was at CinemaCon, and they ran into Tom Cruise, and they said, you can't believe how tiny he is. He's like 5 foot nothing. And then he ran into Stallone, also tiny. But then he ran into Arnold Schwarzenegger and Clint Eastwood. And they're like 6'3", 6'4". But he said, Tom Cruise, he's very tiny.
Well, didn't Tom Cruise play Reacher in the movies?
Jack Reacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
And
yeah.
And so those that have read the Jack Reacher books are like, Tom Cruise was a lousy choice to play Jack Reacher because physically he doesn't look like the character. And these are people that read all the Jack Reacher books, so they're excited to see the series that they put out on, was it Amazon, the Reacher series, where the actor looks and sounds more like Jack Reacher, more true to character, and kind of corrected that anomaly in the Reacher universe, if you want to call it that.
The Reacher universe. They got the Pooh universe now, the new Winnie the Pooh series, the horror movies that, he's in the public domain. He won the Razzie for the worst picture of the year.
Oh,
Winnie
boy.
The Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay, so we have a question for you. Stuart J. Waddles, our news director, has a question for you this morning.
Do I understand correctly? I can text you questions now?
Yes. All right. Thanks for reminding me. You can download the Civic Media app and do it. Just go to WRJN on the Civic Media app. Or you can call me right now. Text me. You wouldn't call me. Or text me at 262-300-7445. That's 262-300-7445. I try to think what 7445 spells on the phone. Hmm. Spells Phil or Shill.
Hmm. So if I get bored tomorrow morning and I say, work blueberry pancakes into your talk.
Yeah, but you're blocked.
Oh.
No, I'll lock you. Are you kidding? 262-300-7445. 262-300-7445. I can't answer everybody back, but what I will do is I will try to get the questions asked. And Stuart J. Waddles has our first question this morning. What would you like to see happen in Lakeview Park?
All right, what would I like to see? I'd like to see the community have some say in what Lakeview Park should look like. I'll tell you what I would like to see as one facet of it. Let's back up a minute. The other day, there's a knock at the door. I had my grandkids for a week and a half because they were on spring break. And my grandson says, my eight-year-old, "Oh, Grandpa, that's for me. It's my friend." I'm like, I looked at him. "You got a friend?" I mean, not that he's not a friendly kid, but I wasn't aware of any kids in the neighborhood that he was friends with. And, you know, who's... So I open up the door. "Hi, is Kai home? Can he come out and play? Who are you? Where do you live? How old are you? Where do you go to school?" You know, I'm vetting the kid because I've never seen him before. And it turns out that Amy took the kids over to Lakeview Park. The kid's a couple years older than Kai, but there's not a lot of kids in the neighborhood. And he lived down the street and he was playing at the park. And they hit it off. So, all right. So I walked the kids over there. And sadly, we got, you know, like an old swing, a small slide, and this little digger thing. Tanner, the four-year-old, soon to be five, he liked the little digger thing. But I'd like to see one of those large playgrounds, the one that they're accessible to all kids and they're community designed. I would love to see us do a Kids Cove type project there, but we're putting an inclusive playground in so that kids of all levels and abilities can play there. I think that would be really cool. Jordan Lawrence, who ran in the primary, he was on this show and I listened to it, and you know, he was talking about a botanical garden. I don't know if there's enough space, but you know, certainly you could do something nice there. You know, the whole park's not going to be a botanical garden, but maybe there's something that can be worked in that way. There's enough green space there. You know, are the baseball fields used? If they're not, take them out. If they're being used, then let's enhance them. Maybe put a pickleball court in. I was talking to Amanda Paffrath, the outgoing alderman, and we talked about let's do a party at the park this summer to bring people in. And I was thinking, you know, we have a number of Hispanic businesses on the Douglas Avenue corridor. Maybe we bring them in and, you know, Lopez Bakery and some of the others, and, you know, have them vend. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think, number one, the community should be involved in what it looks like, have a say in it. Number two, I would like to see that interactive, immersive playground enhanced there. And it definitely does need some upgrades.
What are they doing to it? Why do people want... I see these signs all over my area where I live, and they say, you know, let Lakeview Park be Lakeview Park. What are they planning to do to it?
Several years ago, and this is kind of, you know, I told you, I kind of stayed out of politics for 13 years, but every once in a while, an issue would come up. And apparently, the mayor was working with a developer who liked Lakeview Park and wanted to propose doing some sort of public-private partnership that involved some high-rise or multi-story apartment or condos there. And that did not sit well with me. It did not sit well with other members of the community. And that's where the Save Lakeview Park, Keep Lakeview the Way It Is, that's where that all developed from.
Yeah, let Lakeview Park be Lakeview Park. I see those all over my neighborhood.
Yeah, I think the community spoke very clearly. They don't want development there, commercial development. So,
finally, your statewide tour. You're always on tour around the state of Wisconsin and the Midwest. constantly on tour.
Not constantly.
It's constantly. I see your Facebook page. You visit every site there is, every tourist attraction. You go to every restaurant. I mean, you're the biggest booster for. If I was you, if I were these city, what do they call those? Like the
influencers.
Influencer. If I was, I'd hire you immediately because you're all over the place. Yeah.
There's a couple people on.
Well, your wife's on spring break, so yeah, she can do that. Yeah,
a couple influencers out there on Instagram and stuff like that get some. I don't expect anything for free, and I don't, but I'll tell someone afterwards. You know, hey, we got a little blog or whatever. People started asking us for recommendations, and. So after the election, we wanted to get away. Well, we had the grandkids for a week and a half. I had them primarily because Amy was still teaching. And then we had the election, and then Amy was on spring break. So wanted to get away. So we decided to go. We studied at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast. One of the Ringling brothers.
I've been there, yeah.
Built this house, and he lived there. And it's a gorgeous, you know, I don't want to call it a mansion because, you know, it's smaller than today's homes. But it, you know, in the day, it was a mansion.
And they have a movie theater, the Ringling Movie Theater. I've been there, too.
And a couple of the other brothers had homes in the Baraboo area, too. There's another one downtown. And
oh, you don't have to shut up.
Oh, okay.
I take it. We're going to get sports in just a minute, but hold in there. By the way, I went to the Ringling thing in Sarasota, Florida, too.
Yeah.
Spend days down there. David Mack is here. It's 7:49. We're going to talk sports with Mike Clemens coming up in just a moment here at WRJN. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station.
Wednesday is worse, oh, and Thursday's also sad. The eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play.
Amy Hernandez Mack live at Gene's Jazz. If somebody wants to get this CD, how do they do it?
Get a hold of us. We have a web page, or not a web page. We have a Facebook page called Amy and the Rumboogie Band, and just message us, and we'll figure out how to do that. We're hoping to have a CD release party coming up in the next couple months, so that would probably be the best way. But we're working on it. We got details to work out.
Here's a great singer, and he also knows sports, Mike Clemens. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
When is your CD coming out, Mike?
it's going to drop on May 1st.
Okay. All right, so now you were at, we're going to talk about the Bucks, but you were at the Packer tailgate tour. How'd that go?
Yeah, for 16 years now, the Packers came up with this idea for community outreach. You know, they write checks from their foundation to help out social agencies anyway, and you know, it's kind of a smart thing because it makes for good pictures and it gets some TV news coverage, but most importantly it's exciting, you know, for residents and everything. And every stop that we would go to, you know, there's a bunch of people standing there to see who's going to come off the bus. And so this year it's Kenny Clark, the great defensive lineman, who, by the way, you know, I talked to yesterday, and he thinks that they've been playing him as an outside defensive end the last couple of years. He says with this new four-man front that they're going to do with the new defensive coordinator, he's probably got to go back inside, and that's tougher duty. You know, you get banged up by the center and the two guards, but he's on there. Elton Jenkins, the great left guard. Rasheed Walker, who took over for David Bakhtiari at left tackle. And then some great former Packers like Mike Daniels and Brian Bulaga. So I've had a chance to catch up with all those guys. And Mark Murphy goes and hands out checks, man. He's like, he went to this one little place. Speaking of music, they stopped in Beloit. Well, I went to high school in Beloit, and I couldn't believe they sent me like a little note a couple hours before. They make these surprise visits. Hey, we're going to stop at this place. It was a place for some seniors and special needs people, and it was in a little old banged up building that used to be a music store. It's where in Beloit, by some railroad tracks where I used to buy guitar strings. And there's this wonderful little agency that's trying to help these people, you know, reconnect or relocate to a home or something. And so they were standing out there waiting. There was a little bit of confusion because I think the director said, okay, we're looking for this, you know, the big Packer bus is coming. And here came this big truck, green and gold truck, turning the corner. And some of the people started chasing it. And she said, no, because it was a waste management truck. It wasn't the Packer bus. So about a few minutes later, here came the Packer bus, pulled in. And Mark Murphy came out with a check for them for $5,000, you know. And they took pictures, they signed autographs, and they do all these little quick stops. And they also stop at high schools and talk to students for 45 minutes and say, hey, if you want to improve your life, my path, and like Mike Daniels said, to get out of a tough town in New Jersey, was I did what my teachers and my coaches told me to do, and that's how I got into the NFL.
I think that's a great story. The waste management truck showed up.
You know, when you put them next to each other, they're not so far apart.
That's like the old Andy Griffith show. They're waiting for the big thing around the corner, and all of a sudden it's
exactly.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Okay, so we got the Bucks and we got the Brewers. We got the Brewers playing this afternoon here in WRJN. They're going to be at 5:30 this afternoon in Baltimore taking on the Orioles. They just got done with a four-game stand in Cincinnati, too.
Yeah, yesterday it got rained out, so they have now rescheduled that for a doubleheader in Cincinnati on August 30th. Tonight they take on the Orioles. This could be kind of tricky, too. I think that same front is moving out there because they have something called a coastal flood warning in Baltimore going until 3 o'clock today. And so then the game starts this evening, so hopefully they can somehow protect the field at Camden Yards And Freddie Peralta, their number one pitcher right now, is scheduled to be on the mound next for the Brewers, so that'll be good.
And real quick, in baseball, the Dodgers pitcher, I can never say his name.
Shohei Ohtani?
He's in the clear.
The interpreter?
Yeah, he's in the clear. His interpreter embezzled $16 million from this guy.
It's good. They've found now up to $16 million of his boss's money that he stole. And apparently blew it all on gambling.
I would know if somebody took $16 million from me. I'd know if they took $1.49 from me at this.
Exactly.
Okay, real quick, we got a few more. We got 1 minute left. What about the Bucks? Let's see how they're doing.
Well, you know, they got just a couple of regular season games left, after the slump they had, losing four games at home, six of the last seven, they beat the best team in the East at home Tuesday night. But Giannis goes down. He's got a strained soleus. It's part of the calf muscle, and who knows? He could be out a month or longer, probably at the start of the playoffs. So they're going to have to find a way to win games without Giannis Antetokounmpo.
All right. A lot going on. We've got the Bucks and we've got the Brewers here on WRJ. We also have the Badgers and the Packers, but they're playing right now. And today, once again, the Brewers out in Baltimore take on the Orioles at 5:30. You know, it's funny. We talk about games being rained out. But that's becoming a thing of the past because most stadiums have lids on them now.
Yeah, and especially the ones in the South because, frankly, you know, there's some summer nights with kind of the shift in temperatures where they need it for air conditioning. Yeah. That's why the Cowboys have a dome over their stadium. It's really hot in September.
Mike Clemens, thank you very much. Thanks for covering the Packer tour for us as well. Do appreciate that, my friend.
You bet. You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Talk to you next week. All right. Bye-bye now. It's 7:58. Thank you, David Mack, for joining us today. Do appreciate it. Gave up your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Look at you. You look really excited. All right, coming up next, we've got some more of your Civic Media Radio at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. Of course, have yourself a wonderful weekend. I'll catch you Monday morning. I'm Don Rosen, 6 a.m. right here, WRJN, 1400 AM, 99 and 98.1 FM.